Today's Torah portion is Shlach, sent on your behalf. And we will read from the chapter 13, Numbers chapter 13. But before we will read it, I want to remind us the last Torah portion and the last statement we made last week. In the Zechariah, we read this interesting place of scripture. Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says Adonai Tzevaot. And today we will go in this direction. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And this is actually a beautiful place of scripture. So I want to read from the chapter 13, Numbers, and this is the very common story. We know this story already, probably every one of us. We are believers, and as believers, we read this story many times. But I want to remind us. Adonai spoke to Moses, saying, send some men on your behalf to investigate the land of Canaan. I want to stop here for just a second. This was the dream for all of them. This was their goal, to get into the promised land. So now they're one step from the promised land. One step, actually. They should cross the river and enter the promised land. Everything they for, everything they dream for, their land. So this is the very important thing here. Which I'm giving to Bnei Israel. Each man you are to send will be a prince of the tribe of his fathers, a man from each tribe. So the Lord sends spies to see the land of Hanan, to investigate this land. Maybe it's Jacksonville or some other area. How beautiful it is, how comfortable it is to live there. So verse 3. So according to the word of Adonai, Moses sent them from wilderness of Paran. All the men were princes of Bnei Israel. So they were leaders in their tribes. So Moses selected the 12 princes, one from each tribe according to the Lord's instruction, and sent them into Canaan to spy out the land. So we need to draw this picture for us, for ourselves. And one of those princes, according to the verse 6, and we will speak about Caleb today, it said here, from the tribe of Judah, Caleb, son of Jephunneh. How did you pronounce this name, Jephunneh? I found that it's difficult for English-speaking people to even pronounce this name. Jephunneh or Jephunneh. So let's remember for ourselves. The elder or the prince of the tribe of Judah, his name, Caleb. And it's very famous in the scripture, the man in scripture. So keep him in mind, please, because he is a very interesting fellow, and we will talk about him today. We'll spend time to talk about him. So the 12 spies visited Canaan and returned to Moses with their report of the land. And you know their report, already you read this, but I want to remind us. So the verse 26, Numbers 13. They traveled and returned to Moses, Aaron, and the entire community of Bnei Israel at Kadesh in the wilderness of Paran. They gave their report to them and the entire assembly. They showed the land's fruit. They gave their account to him and said, we went into the land where you sent us. Indeed, it is flowing with milk and honey. This is some of its fruit. So beautiful picture here. Good fruits. Milk and honey. The best place to live. The place promised by the Lord to the Israel. But you know what's happening next? Result. The next words they pronounce to Moses. And verse 28, except, so everything great, good fruits, I mean milk, honey, except. The people living in the land are powerful, and the cities are fortified and very large. We even saw the sons of Anak there. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, "We should definitely go up and capture the land, for we can certainly do it." So we can go there. The verse 31. But the man who had gone up with him said, "We cannot attack these people, because they are stronger than we." And you need to understand, all these spies, they were not simple people. They were elders of the tribes. So they want good for their people, I think. And they look at the problems and they solve the problems. And it's real problems for them. This was real sons of Anak. And this was real big cities. They saw the fact what's happening around them. So they brought report back to Moses. They spread among Bnei Israel a bad report about the land they had explored, saying, "The land through which we passed to explore devours its residents." So it's eating the people there. "All the people that we saw, they're a man of great size." Now it's all the people. Not few, but all the people. "We also saw there the Nephilim," and this is the giants. "We seemed like grasshoppers in our eyes as well as theirs." So can you imagine grasshoppers trying to take the land, possess the land, take it from giants? And we know the results. In the chapter 14, Numbers chapter 14, the results of this grumbling, this report, it was very bad result. The verse 14, verse 1, chapter 14. "All through that night, the entire community raised up their voices. The people wept." Can you imagine? 2 million people, they wept together. It was quite an interesting ceremony there. They cried throughout all the night. Everything, you know. I can imagine the bitterness in their hearts. "All Bnei Israel grumbled against Moses and Aaron." Let's say together, all. It means literally everyone, except few people. Few millions of people, they just grumbled, they just wept, they just all night prayer meeting with the tears and grumbling. "Why you brought us here?" "They said to each other, 'Let's choose a leader,'" it's verse 4, "'and let's go back to Egypt.'" And can you imagine, one step from promised land, now we should turn and go back through everything that they went, the wilderness, all the problems. So for them, it was the huge problem. They saw giants, they saw big cities, they saw facts, they saw actually a hindrance in their way. It was serious for them. It's easy for us to read, of course. But they don't have next chapter. Yes, they should live through this next chapter. So, and as a result, we all know about it, what's happened next. The Lord was displeased with their response. As a result of their rebellion and lack of faith, He condemned them to wander for 40 years and eventually die in the wilderness, all generation, from 20s to and more. Only two people of that entire generation, Joshua ben Nun and Caleb, were allowed to enter the promised land. Two people from all 2 million Jews were allowed to go into the promised land. These chapters tell a story of contrast, disobedience and fear of the people of Israel, contrasted with the faith and courage of Joshua and Caleb. So two different opinions. Two people against 2 million. It's not fair numbers. Two people with one point of view against 2 millions with another point of view. You should draw this picture. Only two people against all the nation of Israel. So I want to speak about one man here, Caleb. Actually, I mentioned a few years ago about his story, but I want to repeat one more time because it's important for us. And we'll go later. So what we know about Caleb, who he was. First, he was prince sent into Canaan from the tribe of Judah. He was the elder of tribe of Judah, the biggest tribe in Israel. And he was the elder of this tribe. So he led the tribe into the promised land after the 40 years. So second thing we know about him, he was the great man of faith. He was pleased to the Lord because his heart was completely with the Lord. And third, I want to read from Numbers chapter 32. It's a very interesting picture about him. The man who came out of Egypt, this is Numbers 32 from the verse 11. And please open the scriptures with me and check me. I used English Bible, but you know, who knows? Check me. The man who came out of Egypt from 20 years old and upward will not see the land I promised to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. For they have not followed me after me with a whole heart. And verse 12. Except Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Do you have the same in the scriptures? Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. What is in your script, Bibles? Maybe Floridian, not? You sure? Kenizzite. Okay, let's go. Joshua chapter 14, verse 6, the same. Then the children of Judah approached Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, said to him, to Joshua. So Caleb, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. So this is very important. And we have two opinions and few opinions regarding who he was and why he was called Kenizzite. The first opinion, this is the some part of the Jewish world has this opinion, is that Caleb was called a Kenizzite because his stepfather, his half brother's father, was named Kenaz. So it's very hard to understand. But this is not clear in the scripture. You couldn't find the clear way to describe it. It looks like, for me, it's not so obvious. The another opinion, which I personally prefer for me when I read the scriptures and learned and studied, is that Caleb's mother or father was from the tribe of Kenizzite. He was from the tribe of Kenizzite. Why? Because it said here, Caleb, son of Jephunneh, Ben Jephunneh, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, from the tribe of Kenizzite. We can find many places in scriptures when, for example, Ruth, Moabite, or other people in the scriptures, they called from other nations. Who was Kenizzite? Who were Kenizzite? Kenizzite were descendants of Esau, who lived in Canaan and generally considered an Edomite clan. Edomite. Very interesting. We can see it in Genesis chapter 36, the verse 40 and 43. Kenizzite, they are descendants of Edomite. And very interesting place of scriptures in Genesis chapter 15. And I want to read it here. This is the meeting. The Lord meets with Abraham, and he is promising to Abraham. He is promising him to lead him in the promised land, to give the land to his descendants. And the verse 8 in chapter 15 of Genesis. On that day, Adonai cut a covenant with Abram, saying, I give this land to you, to your seed, from the river of Egypt to the great river, the Euphrates River, the Kenite, the Kenizzites. Interesting. So chapter 15 speaks about tribe of Kenizzites who lived in the promised land, in the Canaan. And actually the Lord told Israel, you will go and take this land from Kenizzites. This is your work. I want to stop here and I want to ask, are you with me? Are you following my thoughts? It's important to understand, to grasp it. So Caleb, a Kenizzite, had become a prince of the tribe of Judah, and he led the tribe of Judah into the promised land after 40 years traveling in the wilderness. Interesting picture, as for me. So, Kenizzite. Somebody said that his stepfather was Kenaz, but I think clearly here, it said here, Joshua, son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. So the Lord used this man who was from another tribe to take victory over the land and to bring victory to the Jewish people. So what made Caleb different from 2 million Israelites? What was different about him? Why he was so important? The answer here. So the Numbers chapter 14, I want to read it, verse 24. The Lord report about Caleb. However, my servant Caleb, because a different spirit is with him, and he is wholeheartedly behind me, I will bring him into the land where he went. His offspring will inherit it. So, let's say together, wholeheartedly. Literally in the Torah, it said here, and has followed me fully, with whole heart, completely. And the same place, Gaita Ruach Acheret Imo, a different spirit is with him. And it's here, not in him, but with him. Very interesting place here. Only once in Scripture did the Lord say about someone, a different spirit is with him. Only once. About Caleb. It said here, a different spirit with him. The man was filled with faith, and the Spirit of God dwelt with him. His behavior was completely different from the behavior of 2 million people around him. His behavior was different. His heart was filled with trust in the Lord's promises, and his way of thinking was completely different from others. And it's easy to speak about it, but can you imagine to be surrounded with 2 million people who had different opinion from yours? You will be strange, at least strange, in the small stage, strange. But he was hindrance for them. They want to stone him. They want to kill him. He was uncomfortable for them. He speak truth, and it was different truth for them because he had different opinion about these things. So I want to read the how this opinion were different between each other. So what Israelites speaks, what he speaks. First, Israelites. Numbers 13, verse 33. So their opinion about situation. We also saw there the Nephilim. We seems like grasshoppers in our eyes as well as theirs. So, you know, they told the land devours eating the people there. It was their response. Look at his response. Numbers chapter 14, verse 9. Don't rebel against Adonai, Caleb speaks to Israel. And don't be afraid of the people of the land. They will be food for us. 2 million people said, we will be food for them. And this guy said, they will be food for us. We will eat them. It will be breakfast for us. The protection over them is gone. Adonai is with us. Do not fear them. Men of courage, men of strength, men of faith. So Caleb did not have to convince himself in victory. I know that when the situation is happening, the people who don't believe, they don't have power to convince others. And especially in the face of death. Can you imagine the mindset of Caleb? He was sure about what he speaks. It was obvious for him. It was not the practice of proclamation for him. You know, some people don't believe, but they proclaim it. I trust, I believe. This is not wall, this is the, you know, way out here. This is the door. For Caleb was opposite. He was sure. He was believe. He saw this way. It was his mentality. This was his mentality. So victory was to be expected. He simply believed it, not doubt about it. The others saw great difficulties, giant problems. Their hearts were filled with unbelief and fear. And they have facts. It was fact there, giants there, of course. So they could not comprehend Caleb's way of thinking. It was different, completely different way of thinking. But Caleb did not agree with them. When he was spying out the promised land, he saw God's promises and his blessings. This is what he saw there when he entered the promised land. So let's go and think about how to have this spirit. What made him different? How to gain this spirit? How to be in this spirit? In the scriptures, it said here, Caleb completely followed the Lord, and therefore he had the Spirit of the Lord with him. The reason why the Lord was with him, because Caleb followed the Lord. It was his decision. He's followed everywhere. It said here, completely followed the Lord. Wholeheartedly. Not only one day, but every day of their life, his life. Instead of fear and hopelessness, he was confident in victory, because victory was given. He was sure. And this is place of scripture I start with. Not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. And remember, different spirit is with him. Because the spirit of the Lord was with him. Because he followed with the Lord everywhere, every day. He saw the situation differently. This is a lesson for all of us. We all faced with the difficulties. We all faced with the facts many times. And we had to decide every day of our life. And we can decide or go with the 2 million of the people to see the problem and to know the problem is huge and we are lost. Let's go back to Egypt. And we can cry all night and we have all the rights to cry. But in the same situation here, we see the Caleb, he was with the Lord, and this is why the Lord was with him, and he saw through the eyes of the Spirit. Different picture. Different picture. Different picture. And I just want to step out of my message. You know, sometimes, you know, people who had the different spirit with them. Somebody can enter the room, and like everybody could cry, oh, what's happening? Tomorrow we will die and finish. And just man enter the room and everything changed. Boom. He can say one word of faith. And everybody like, oh, wait a minute. It's different. Let's praise the Lord. Because of the presence of the Spirit. I remember once I was in the interesting service. And it won't take a long time. One of the men, he was the pastor of the church. It was not Messianic congregation, but church lived through the real revival time. And he was speaking about the Lord. And I remember conference, few thousands people, full place, packed of the people, and worship. good worship, beautiful team, beautiful announcements, everybody's praying, people coming to pray one after another. And this man came. He came to stage and he said, "Jesus, we welcome you." It was feeling that all the time was like useless, you know? I don't know how to explain it. After he said these words, Yeshua was there. Everything changed. He started preaching, and in the middle of the speaking, the people started just running in front, crying to the Lord, and just, he does not even invite people, but the presence of the Lord. Caleb was in the different spirit. He was in the spirit of the Lord. His story reminds me of the story of King David and Goliath. All we know this story so much, so many times from the childhood probably. When all Israel was in fear and trembling before Goliath, only one young man came forward trusting the Lord, and he gained a great victory for all Israel. Young man. One man was different from the entire nation. Entire nation. And if you remember when the prophet came to anoint David, young boy, even his father forget about him. Ah, we have one more son. Oh, he's with the sheep somewhere. He could not be king. He's different. He's strange. He's small. I mean, he could not be king. You know this story. I don't want to repeat. So one man had a completely different mentality and point of view about things. So one man was grounded in faith, David. One man was in absolute minority and surely looked very strange before the people of Israel. If you remember, he went to the place where the Israelites were standing against the Goliath and trembling, shaking, and he went there and told him, "Why you come here? You came to laugh from us, make fun of us. Go back to your sheep. Don't irritate us." I mean, in the scriptures. David went to have victory, and his own brothers, they thought he came to make laugh of them, make fun of them. Before David, but what's the point here? Before David became a warrior, he was worshiper. He was shepherd. And do you remember what he did? He praised the Lord during this time of his life. It was the same spirit that gave him courage and boldness, first as a shepherd and then as a warrior, the same spirit. He knew the spirit of the Lord. He was a worshiper. He was filled with the spirit. This is why when he get up and stand before, in front of Goliath, he saw completely different pictures. He told Saul, he tell him, "I will take his head off of him. I will beat him. Today I will gain victory." So David was familiar with the presence of Adonai, and when he was alone with the sheep, and this why he was confident when he came out and stepped in front of Goliath. He was sure in the Lord's victory. As it written, "Arise, O Lord, and let your enemies will be scattered." And I have a question. Who can stand against the Lord? Goliath? No. These giants? No. And what's interesting, the Goliath was a giant. And the Caleb faced with the giants too. The same picture here. So I want to end with one idea actually here. And this is the idea I want you to remember, to grasp from today's message. The same was in the story of life of Caleb. His victory did not happen suddenly. The same with David, the same with Caleb. It was not suddenly. It was not suddenly. Adonai reports to Moses that Caleb was wholeheartedly behind him. This was the walk of Caleb, a lifetime given to fulfilling the will of God. It takes whole life to be ready for this battle. The same with David. He prepared himself for whole life for this special battle. It was not suddenly, it was prepared. And I believe the following involves a span of time. It involves experience, obstacles faced and overcome. It calls for living a lifetime according to the word of God and His standards. So living the way the Lord wants. This is very important. And Caleb's character and behavior were shaped by his trust in the Lord. So he dealt with problems and circumstances very differently, not at all like all Israelites, because his heart was confident in God and his victory. So I want to end with a few interesting places of scripture. I have something, but I want to read it. In the Ephesians chapter 6, the verse 13, Rabbi Shaul speaks to us, "Therefore take up the full armor of God, so that you may be able to resist when the times are evil." So we see the different times here, good times and evil times. And I know one secret here. If we are not prepared while we have good time, we will be not ready to stand against evil time, because it's happened suddenly. So this was the time for Caleb when he went to the promised land. It was time when his faith came forward. He was ready. With the David, the same, King David. So we are all vessels and we carry something inside us. Only when we carry the Spirit of God can we bring Him with us, and it will be obvious for other people. Only then you can have victory and enter your promised land. Only then. And one last thing. Caleb's faith did not change situation immediately. His faith and trust did not change situation. He followed in the wilderness for 40 years. While he had faith, he was trustworthy. But for 40 years, he is still walking with the people of Israel. Can you imagine? He could say, "Lord, I had the faith. Why am I walking here? I should be in promised land." But faith takes patience. So he was patient. He walking with the Lord and with the rest of the people, unfaithful people, not worthy people, but he was faithful to them for 40 more years. He loving them. Can you imagine? We have so many faithful people who don't love others. "Oh, I don't love him," and go somewhere to make victories. No, it's not the people of God. This man bind himself with Israel for 40 more years. And the reports after 40 years, I like this. I'm enjoying this place. Joshua chapter 14. There Caleb comes to Joshua and he speaks to him. And this is the words of the faithful person who filled with the faith, who is, now he is 85. Can you imagine the man, 85 years old? And he's coming to Joshua Ben-Nun and he's saying to him, "So now behold," it's verse 10, the Joshua chapter 14. "So now behold, Adonai has kept me alive just as he said." I'm here. He promised me and I'm here. "These 45 years since the time that Adonai spoke this word to Moses while Israel was journeying in the wilderness. And now, behold, I'm 85 years old today." And 11 verse. "I am still as strong today as I was in the day that Moses sent me." The same 40 and same 85. The man of faith, man of courage, filled with the Spirit of the Lord. As my strength was then, so is my strength now, for war and for going out and coming in. Now, therefore, give me this hill country about which Adonai spoke on that day. So he said to Joshua ben Nun, I know the place where giant lives. Give me this place. I can't wait. For 45 years, I dreamed to take this place with all these giants together. Give me this place. He was probably angry at them. Yeah. And so saying, Caleb took the mountain with those giants together. He took for the Lord. It may take many years of obedience and humility, but when you are ready, the Spirit of God will come upon you and give you victory. The person to whom you witnesses so many times will turn to the Lord. Circumstances that have not changed for such a long time will finally change when the Lord chooses the time. And you will know victory, then it counts the most. Not by might, nor by power, but by my Ruach, said the Lord. I want to give small testimony. I know the time is out, but just small. It's a story about our family and Ina's uncle. The man who, he was alcoholic for, he was in the problem for many years, more than 20 years. And it was so huge problem for whole family. We witnessed him so many times. And can you imagine person who taking alcohol for more than 20 years? He was ruined. He couldn't stay, he couldn't listen, he couldn't, nothing. And last time we went to Ukraine, and 1 week before we moved back here, home, the Lord, Spirit of the Lord just fill us, and we speak to him with boldness, with the fire. Once again, it was Milan first time. And yesterday or a few days ago, Ina's mother called her and said that he's preparing for Tefillah now. He's going to class for Tefillah. You know why? Because not by might, not by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Amen. So let's pray. Hallelujah. Avinu Shebashamayim, our Heavenly Father, thank you for wonderful time together, Lord. Thank you for congregation, Lord. Lord, we know that not by might, not by power, but by your Spirit, Lord. Lord, we ask, fill us with your Spirit. Forgive us, Lord. Change our lives. Help us to walk completely with you, Lord. Help us to bring victory to you. Thank you so much for this wonderful place to worship, Lord, and to share our common faith with each other. B'shem Yeshua HaMashiach. Amen. So let's stand together. Let's finish with a prayer. Please not be alone. Hallelujah. Yivarech Adonai ve'ishmerecha Yaher Adonai panavelecha vichunecha Issa Adonai panavelecha Ve'asem lecha shalom.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord cause the light of his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of Yeshua, the Prince of Peace. Amen.
Amen. Shabbat shalom. Shabbat shalom.